And I thank the Lord that I'm serving in His army now. Amen. We are serving in the army of the Lord. But when I think back on the wonderful men that gave their lives, and then to see people protest the war, can you imagine how that hurt those that were over there and saw death? And a lot of them didn't want to be there, but they were there. You know, today we have an all-volunteer army. But boy, it's really a gut-wrencher when you have a family stand up and they've given their children to a war and then regret it. What a sad thing. There's no integrity in that. At least don't spit on the grave of your loved ones that you've given to war. But honor the thing that they would want you to honor in the giving of their life. That would do more of integrity than I know of. But we're seeing a spirit come upon our nation more and more. It's increasing, this spirit. And this spirit is getting more and more self-centered and more personal. And we're seeing protests now that we don't want to serve the war. I got to thinking to myself one day, and I know that this is not right thinking, but you know, I got to thinking the United States needs a good enema. You know, I hate to say that, but I'm going to tell you something. When you have war come over into your country, you know, we should never forget 9/11. It's there's an integrity about them willing to come for what they believe to destroy what we stand for. That's wrong. And if we don't want to defend that, for the sake of, we have a right to defend what belongs to us. Are you following? But are we so involved in what belongs to us that we don't want to sacrifice to maintain that freedom? George Sada, when he was in my office before he left, I said, George, I'm a little concerned about the elections that are coming. I don't feel a peace in my spirit. And he leaned over and he says, Nah, good man. He says, don't you worry. He says, things will carry on as they must. Because it's kind of like your people when they come into your office and try to tell you how to run your church. They seem to forget that they haven't sat in your chair. He said, they haven't sat in President Bush's chair. They have a politic approach to everything. But when they go to sit in his chair, he says they'll look back at the greatness of that president and how he served to protect not only our country, but many other countries, including that one. And he says the people of that country love your president for what he's doing. It was a cry for release from terrorism. And he says he'll probably be remembered as a very great president after his term's been up for a while. He says, but you trust you. The Lord has his hand on the United States because the United States puts his hand out to other nations in a good way. That made me feel peaceable. Amen. Well, we have another war raging, and that is the war that believers face. Because we have an opponent, and his name's Satan. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to share something about the operation of your faith under fire versus growing faith. You know, you people are so good. I just want to commend every one of you. You are so good. You always come up with things that challenge me. You always come up with things that make me seek the Lord on it. And so whenever I get a how come out of you guys, I know what's to follow is going to be good. So if you will, I want you to open your Bibles up to Hebrews. You want me to quote this passage or do you want to quote it? 11. Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. One translation says the reality, the proof of things not being seen. For by it the elders obtained a good witness. I want to read you the correct translation. For by this the elders obtained witness. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. In the Greek it says, by faith we understand that the ages, time period, the generation in which these men lived, during that time period, the worlds had been adjusted by a rhema of God. These men had received a word from God and spoke it from themselves and affected their generation. Now, I know that we've been taught that this verse was talking about how God formed the universe, and nothing could be further from the truth. The verse is not to teach us how God just spoke and the worlds came into existence. We can't relate to that. Are you following me? I can't relate to my words being so powerful that I could create a universe with it. What this verse is saying is how the elders obtained a good witness before the Lord, because the word that God had given them, that became their rhema to adjust or to reestablish their time period or their generation in accomplishing what God wanted them to accomplish. Amen. Just like the military, the armed forces have a purpose for being where they're at, to accomplish a perfect operation. Are you following what I'm saying? And each service has its reason. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying these men did something with a word. They called it by a rhema of God. God didn't approach them with a Bible. He approached them with a word. Yeah. Are you following me? We have the word of God in Bible form in our lap. And the uniqueness of being a believer is the fact that our Bible is not ink. It is not made of paper. Our Bible is the Logos, God speaking to us. So we can rhema the Word of God out of our life. Because the word Logos means the spoken word. It don't mean the written word. The Bible is very clear. The written word is called graphite, where we get the term graphite. But what it is, the Logos, is God speaking to us personally for us to rhema the Word of God, for us to speak it. How many understand what I'm talking about? See, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. So he says then, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah. All these people, by faith Abraham did this. And every one of them had a testimony that it looked like what they were faced with and what they seen in their generation or their time period didn't come to pass, because when God gave them a word, they obtained witness to the word God gave, because they held on to it and used it over their life. Amen. Now what makes you people so wonderful is that when you challenge me to come up with an answer that I caught off guard and can't come up with right away, I go to work right away and I seek God. And boy, the beautifulness of the Holy Spirit. Thank God He's our teacher. And He spoke something to me and it caught me off guard. I mean, I went to reeling. I couldn't believe it. And so when He kept speaking me to it, I started going through the Word of God and I found out what He was trying to get a hold of me. Trying to get me to give to you. And this is good. You want me to give you something good? I never saw this before. but it answered some questions in some other verses. You see, when I study the Bible and I can't get an answer to why certain things are put the way they are, I can ask my wife. I'll just put a little note there called a question mark. I don't know this. I don't understand it. But you know what? Whenever I put a question mark by any scripture or any subject or theme or something, I always get an answer. It takes time. I've learned to be patient with God. Because, you know, it isn't God that's not willing to dump the whole thing on you. It's just you're not capable of receiving what He can tell you. Because you've got to get some things in you going first. You know what I mean? And so this person leaned over and said, "Pastor, why? Why are things going this way?" And you know, everything within you, you can give them an answer. You can tell them. But they need more than that. They need an answer. I looked in. I said, "I don't know. But I'll seek the Lord about it." And I did. The Lord told me to read to you again something that's important. You can write this down if you want to. But I got it in my heart. Faith is the kingdom of God that has seated itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. That's the God kind of faith. I'll say it again. Faith is the kingdom of God that has seated itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. How many got that? Faith is the kingdom of God that has seated itself in you and grows to the full potential God intended it to be in you. When God spoke that to my heart, something really clicked that I couldn't relate to. It was one of them little scriptures I had a question mark by. And you know what scripture it was? John 16:33. And this is how the verse is written. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, somebody asked me, "Why did you put a question mark there, Jan? That's a stupid scripture to put a question mark. Don't you understand that?" And I says, "Oh, yeah. I understand that verse, but you don't." And they looked at me and said, "What do you mean we don't? I know what the verse is saying." I said, "Oh, no, you don't." I said, "I had a hard time relating to that verse." And they said, "Why would you have a hard time relating to that verse? It doesn't say that I'm to be of good cheer, for God has made a way for me to overcome the world." Doesn't say that. And they looked at me and says, "Well, of course not. He did." I says, "Well, then how does that relate to me? Because I can simply say I can be of good cheer, for God has made a way for me to overcome the world." Doesn't say that. It said, "Be of good cheer, for in the world you'll have tribulation. But I have overcome the world." Remember my teaching on the book of Hebrews? What did I tell you about that book? We always quoted Hebrews 4:12, but never 13. Something ignited in me. The reason I can be of good cheer in the midst of tribulation is because my Jesus put me in a position through His victory. 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 Do you hear what I'm saying? Through His victory. Boy, my mind just went bonkers. And I said, "Wow." It finally dawned on me why our faith is so honored of God. Because all as I've got left to trust on and rely on and realize that I am in a greater position than the Old Testament, I have a faith that's anchored in my resurrected Lord who's won the victory for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All as I have to do is position myself for the fight. How do I do that? Well, I'm about ready to tell you where I found peace. But I'll tell you, this world can sure come up with a lot of anxiety. Have any of you noticed that lately it seems like every day you wake up now, there's something else? Now my mind is beginning to have more peace. I hear things, it goes here, just doesn't affect me like it used to. I'm getting to find more peace, and here's one of the reasons. He whose mind is stayed on Him will find perfect peace. See, my mind is still boggled at the fact to be of good cheer. This is what Jesus said through the angels. Be of good cheer. I came into the world to what? To give mankind peace. Peace on earth and goodwill towards me. Why did He say that? Because He says, I have a way now to put man back in control of their life, no longer vulnerable to the God of this world, where they can function and operate in an incredible position that I will place them in so that they can have perfect peace in the midst of the best test, temptation, and trial that they could ever face. So you know what God spoke to me? He said it very simply. He says, faith has two foundations on which it operates. Faith has two foundations and for which it operates. Did you know that Dad Hagin always taught us? Didn't he, Sue? There's an anointing in the Word. There's an anointing in the Word. There's an anointing in the Word. How many of you believe that? Do you believe there's an anointing in your Word? You know what anointing does? It breaks the yoke. It means it removes the labor to something. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Well, I'll give you a real test. I'll put a test or a trial on you and then tell me about the good news. Will you respond such as, Eek! God, you said, why am I in this thing? Or will you just kick back, fold your hands behind your head, cross your legs, and sit and stretch out and say, I'm in a complete, perfect rest. Right when all hell is breaking loose all around you. I don't think most of us are conditioned for that kind. But we can be. I like what Jesus said in Mark 4. He says, when the sower sows a word, Satan comes immediately. To do what? His main goal is to bring an offense to the Word of God over your life. And you know how he does it? He uses what's in you to come against the Word. Not what's in the Word. He uses what's in you to get to the Word. Because he says it comes for the Word's sake. That's why you don't see many Christians clamoring to the Word of God. They clamor more to the social side to the gospel than they do the Word side to the gospel. Now, there are two operations of faith. They come out of two foundations on which it operates. Can anybody guess what foundation it would be? Well, if there's an anointing on the Word, that means life is in the Word. My words, they are living and active and powerful and sharper than anything else. So we know that the Word of God has to be one foundation. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen? You know, the Word of God is a foundation for which something is built off of. The Word of God is a foundation for which something is built off of. The Word is the foundation for which something is built off of. Guess what the second groundwork is? The second foundation. Can anybody tell me? We just read it in Hebrews 11. Faith is the subject we're talking about, not the ground. Huh? It comes with it. We just read it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders. What is the second ground? Mankind. For the Word of God, the kingdom of God, is what has been seeded in you to grow thereby. Can I hear an amen? So, the two grounds that he's speaking of, the Bible speaks of, and I never saw the second ground. But when somebody asks me all the time, why, Pastor Jen? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? I want to scream out, does anybody ever got a clue we got a devil running around here? The second foundation from which the Word operates from is the person. You. So you have two foundations that the Word of God operates off of. Number one, the Bible. But guess what? The Bible is only printed stuff until it gets into you and comes out of you. You're the second foundation from which it operates. Now, when I begin to see this, something grabbed my lightning quick mind that I would never, ever, dare, ever preach on, because my mentor was very strong on these verses fitting his teaching, but I knew it from the Greek language that those verses were worded differently. Matter of fact, one of them, not even there. It caught my attention. Why? Faith operates two ways. Faith operates from a growth that takes place in you. That is one way that the Word operates from your person. It comes by maturity. It comes by you growing in the Word. It is something that becomes a part of your life. Faith is not a doctrine. Faith is a lifestyle that has seated itself in your heart and has germinated in you and have grown up. And it's now out here bearing fruit on your branches. That is one operation of faith. It's called the faith. But what about the second operation of faith emanating from the person? Well, that faith, that operation of faith is where the Lord spoke this to me very clearly. He said, do you want to know where I am talking about the second operation of faith that comes out of the person? Is the one who is under attack. And he said, did you ever notice, Jan, that you've got faith to where it germinates in you, becomes a part of you in some areas, but other areas, it isn't really fully grown yet? Now, you all don't have that problem, just your pastor. But I guarantee you, any one of us could look back on our present situation right now, and there's a side of us that knows the Word of God, but you're not doing it. Can I hear? Amen. Amen. Let's say amen. Amen. Okay. That means that faith not only works to mature you, but faith also works to protect you. Amen. But what if you're not mature? Can faith still protect you? Yep. It's your kid. Did you ever notice that when you were young in the Lord, when you were young in the Lord, preferably your first love? Anybody remember back then? Boy, how vulnerable you were. Because if one person sidestepped you, you took it out on them. Why? You weren't mature. But there was some things you could do that no one could knock you off your stool. And that is, you'd get a hold of the Word of God, you would just violently stand guard over that Word. And if anybody ever violated, come into your life in such a way that would even violate your stand on that Word, you go, get away from me. I want to, no, I want to protect it. And you do it. Remember the earlier walk with the Lord? I mean, all these believers, you know, you're okay when you're first brought into the kingdom. It's when church gets a hold of you. Somebody said, well, what if church gets a hold of me? What do I do? I'll show you what you do. This is real deep revelation. What's that called? Run from them. They're trying to put you in a position you don't need to be in. And boy, somebody told me, says, well, you just can't order God. And I said, I'm not trying to order God. Well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to work the Word. Oh. See, right away, somebody comes up and says, we're trying to control God. I wasn't ever trying to control God. I was trying to get results about what God told me I could have. That's all I cared about. And God gave me, I was praying and I wanted a girl. God showed me He was going to give me a girl. I went and told everybody before she was even brought forth, before they had these ultrasounds. Yeah, we go back that far. And I said, I wanted a girl, and it's going to be a girl. You just can't order God around and expect Him to give you what you want. And boy, they were all stood against me, waiting for me to be deflated because I was being prideful in my faith. Anybody been there? I'll never forget at the hospital. The one who fought me the most was standing by me. Well, Jan, are you ready to repent? And I says, no, God showed me I'm going to have a girl. You cannot. You cannot just order God around and God's going to knock you down a notch. You know, you offend people when you are strong on the Word. The doors open up and I hear, wee, wee. And I said, sounds like a girl. Funny how you can tell. Yeah, it does. This nurse came walking up to us. And in her arms, she said, Jan, you have a beautiful little girl here. I said, I told you I was going to have a girl. But I was delighting myself in the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I had some faith ventures that didn't work. Anybody you ever have any of those? But what I've got to share with you today will ease your mind a lot. It will. It'll help you. Well, we've run out of time. Yeah, we did. I don't want to keep you very long, but I want to set you up for next Sunday. So next Sunday we'll come back and I'll finish this. Okay? But I want to whet your appetite a little bit. When I got this answer from the Lord just recently, I went into shock. And He said, Pastor Butler, that's the way the Lord always speaks to me the same way Sue does. Pastor Butler. That's how I hear Him. Sue's conditioned me. And He speaks this passage to me. And He said, Paul is giving you a detailed scripture of a position you should take in war. Not the kind of faith that grows in you, but the kind of faith that operates in a war zone. Now, let's say we're in a war zone. What's the first thing that a soldier should rely on, John, in war? Wouldn't it be his training? Wouldn't it be your training? And let's say that you're under so much pressure that the operation of training doesn't come to you in manual form. It comes to you in, survive this baby. Isn't that true? And so their hopes in the military is to train you so that you do things, what? Automatically. It's something that's in you to automatically do. But let's say you forget the manual. I guarantee you, even though you forget the manual, you'll have some kind of operation that you were taught, click in, and you'll do it. Are you following me? Such as one of the things they train you, especially in infantry, is how to use your weapon. Matter of fact, they go to great lengths and they tell you how to break the weapon down. They tell you all the components of it. You're to know how to clean it. You're to know how to put it back together. You're to know the whole schematics of it. You're to know the power of it. You're to know the dimensions of it. You're to know what it's capable of. Are you following what I'm saying? Because that weapon becomes your lifeline. And when all else fails, when the breakdown comes, you still operate that weapon. Are you following me? Well, thank God, God shared with me something that when I saw it, I went, my gosh. And I read what the chapter before it and the chapter, and I said, I had never seen this at all. And he said, this is an operation of how you can use a weapon of God in the midst of war and not question whether you have enough faith or not. And it'll still work for you.
Amen.
You know, under fire, you might forget what put that gun together and everything, but the only thing you got is to pull the trigger and hope everything works. Are you following me? That's all you can do. I call that obedience to what you do have. Why? Because you got a whole lot coming against you. And one thing you don't do in warfare is to fellowship with whether or not you're going to come out of it alive. You fellowship with the thought, I'm going to survive this thing. I don't sit there and question my superiors as to whether they're right as they're wrong, because if they told me how to use that weapon, I'm going to begin to question it right in the midst of a fight. That's called stupid duh. Now, I know I was told how to sight this thing and how to pull the trigger and everything, but what if you question that? Well, I don't know whether I want to pull the trigger or not. I don't know whether I want to kill that guy or not. I don't know. I'm not sure whether that sight's or that's stupid. Because you know what? He's going to kill you. So there is an operation of faith under fire. The Bible teaches you what it is. And there is an operation of faith that causes you to grow. Now, real quick like, we've been taught that mustard seed faith moves the mountain. The Bible does not teach that mustard seed faith moves a mountain. The Bible tells you that it is a faith that grows to completeness that removes the mountain. Now, I'm going into Scripture next Sunday morning, and I'm going to show you the two operations of faith. I'm going to show you the operation of faith in the Word, and I'm going to show you an operation of faith in the person. Does that suit you guys? But this little faith that's mentioned in the Bible, this little faith, in closing, this little faith, you're going to find, you can find in three verses. You can write these down real quick tonight so you can go and look over them. In Matthew 6:30, it tells about little faith. It says, this little faith has a fear of God's ability not to provide for you one who trusts more in having money than God. Matthew 6:30 says there is a little faith in that. Little faith in believing God for your provision. That's little faith, that little operation. The second scriptural place that you find little faith mentioned is in Matthew 8:26. That's talking about, and actually Matthew 8:26 and Matthew 14:31, these two verses. They actually teach you one who lives on excuses in the midst of the storms of life, they have little faith. Those three verses, I'll say them again. Matthew 6:30 talks about a fear that gets into a man's heart. of not to trust on God's ability to provide for them, because they have more trust in having money than they do God. And Matthew 8:26 and Matthew 14:33 speaks of one who lives on excuses in the midst of the storms of life. And the disciples did that. When Jesus expounded to them on all scripture, we're going to the other side. And they all came up with excuses right in the midst of the storm. And I'm going to tell you something. We're all challenged. You're going to be challenged by the enemy. Every time you hear a word of God, the enemy is going to come and challenge you. And how he's going to challenge you is he's going to use what's in you to combat the word that could be first place in your life. I had a person come up to me saying that last Sunday evening when how to receive ministry gifts, that blew her away. She said, I will never again think negative of godly authority established, even though I don't respect it. Because she said it caught her. The reward of a prophet. If you give anything to a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. And we took that over in the New Testament. How you get rewarded through the ministry gifts. And if you disrespect those ministry gifts, you don't get none. She got it. I said, well, thank you, honey. She says, it dawned on me why a lot of people won't submit to pastoral authority is because they don't know how to respect it. Well, it's not because they don't know how to respect it. I think it's because they have more church in them than they do the Word of God. That's just basically it. Too much church in them than the Word of God. Well, that is a prime example that the Word can work in you in the midst of a test or trial, not to take you out. Because God puts you in a warfare that He intends for you to win. And that warfare didn't come because God had put you into a right place. That warfare comes because the devil don't like you. He wants you to lose. He doesn't want you to succeed at anything. He wants you to join the Marine Corps and be the first taken out. That's the devil's attitude. How many of you know that? He doesn't want you to have long life. He doesn't want you to succeed. The only way you're going to succeed and have anything that's long is that you're going to have to know the Word of God. You're going to have to become skilled in the Word of God. You're going to have to become skillful with the Word of God. It says, he that is skillful with the Word of God has his senses trained or exercised. But when your senses are in control, you can think anything. You can go anywhere. But when you are skilled in the Word of God, when you're skilled in the Word of God, then when it comes to a fight, you're going to win. Amen. So next week we call looking forward to winning the victory. So we can remember Veterans Day for the next group. Amen. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Yes, Mike. Huh? Oh, okay. Hallelujah.
You have a seat for a minute if you like. What I wanted to do, I was listening to Kim and you guys talk about the veterans and been a military dependent. I was around the service almost all my life, obviously, with my dad. But, you know, I love the military. I love what these people do for us. And I'm like pastor in 1967. I had graduated from high school. I wanted to go into the Army. That was my life. As a kid, I wanted to grow up and go into the Army. I wanted to be an MP in the Army. So in June 67, when I graduated, I got my little thing in the mail to take my physical, and I had gone to Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went and took my physical back there, and I didn't pass my physical. I didn't pass my physical because this doctor said to me when I was there, he said, no, this is a poor man's war. And he said, a lot of poor men who weren't able to go to Canada and get out and so forth. And that's what we were dealing with back in the 60s, and Pastor knows that. And so what happened was I was upset because I didn't go. He gave me a 1Y classification. I said, well, what is that? He says, well, they'll take me before they take you. And I cried because that's...
Was that a racial thing?
Well, primarily, because there was a lot of poor people.
That's crazy.
Well, but be it as it is, that's war. War don't discriminate who you are, what color you are. The bullets don't care. But the point is that, you know, it kind of bothered me. So I'm standing back here today listening to these guys talk and everything. But my dad, in 1967, he volunteered to go to Vietnam so I wouldn't have to go. Because he thought I was going to pass my physical. And when he found out I didn't have to go, within 6 months later, he came back. My point is, my dad put his life on the line to keep me from having to go. And I respect the military men and women who put their lives down to go across the water so we can have peace here at home. And I was in a store a while back last year, and this military man was there, and I let him go first in the grocery line. And these people were giving him a bad time because the Iraq thing was hot and everything. And when we got all done, he said to me, he said, why did you let me go first in line? You had more than I did. And I said, I enjoy the freedom I have here today because of what you're doing. So what is a little thing to let you go before me? And I'm hurt by what our country treats these people today. They go and lay their lives down. They can't get medical or anything else. That's not right for the country to treat them that way. And we have a responsibility as believers in Christ to come against those who are opposing them, who are laying their life down. So I don't take this lightly. When I see a man or a woman in uniform, I'll always let them go before me because of what they're doing for me. And we just take this for granted. This volunteer army, these people are putting their lives down for us to have what we have. Amen?
Amen. Thanks, Mike. You know what our armor is? If you're a soldier of the Lord, our armor is light. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit. In the Greek, it's the fruit of the light. For the fruit of the light. It's light. Our inner man is adorned with light. So we don't stumble anymore in darkness. Stand up, everybody. Ken, I want a copy of those notes. The best I've ever heard on integrity. It convicted me. Oh, I don't need that. Father, we're now closing the service, and I thank you for the wonderful people that have been here as an example, and they are above reproach as far as I'm concerned. They're examples of their commitment to the military. And Father, your people are a precious, precious thought to you in their life. And Father, they're the grunts, the ones that have to get out there and fight the front lines. And so, Father, I thank you for the wonderful people that have taken this 3-day weekend, taken their time out to come and be a part of your service on the Sabbath in remembrance of you. What an honor, Father, that they have done today, every one of them. And so, Father, we ask that their week be encouraged by what they've received here today so that they're stronger and stronger. Even as this week goes on and it comes next weekend, they're ready again. Father, thank you for the wonderful word that you've given us to protect your wonderful people. Protect them out there in the battlefield where a lot of us can't go where they're at. But Father, where they're at, your word in them can go. And Father, they are wonderful soldiers of the cross. And Father, use them mightily this week through the word in Jesus' name to defeat the enemy in their life. Now, with every head bowed, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't have any protection from the God of this world. But if you come on over into the kingdom of God, He'll put you through training and make you an ambassador for the kingdom of Christ. Hallelujah. And you can go out into this sea of wolves and win the victories that need to be won for other people as well. And so if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, we're going to give you the freedom to come forward. But if you've given Jesus the Lord of your life, but you've broken fellowship with Him and would like to reestablish that place with Him, we want to pray with you also. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. So important. We have altar ministers here. And what I'm going to do today is that once I dismiss you, I'm going to dismiss you first. Those of you that you know God's speaking to, whether it's salvation, infilling of the Holy Spirit, restoration of your walk with the Lord, whatever it is, we want you to feel free to come up here after we dismiss everybody. You feel free to come up here and we're going to pray with you. And with that said and done, you're dismissed. Hallelujah. And those of you that want prayer, please feel free to come up here. Even for physical healing, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.